You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves with SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Friday, the 16th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Ahead, we'll tell you about the stock that rose 91% on its first trading day on the boards of the Australian Stock Exchange today. But first, let's focus on China, trade and cotton. The industry is bracing for a major financial hit after Chinese mills were told to stop buying Australian cotton. Around $800 million worth is sold to China each year, accounting for nearly two-thirds of the national crop. And it's feared the industry could soon be hit with hefty tariffs, which is a major blow, as growers prepare for a bumper harvest following recent rain. Here's Cotton Australia CEO Adam Kay.
Well, at the moment, China takes about 65% of the crop, so it's very important to us. And I think the main thing is those strong relationships. You know, they've come to rely on that high-quality cotton with wonderful sustainability credentials. Our shipping times are very short, you know, from the cotton gin up into the ports in 14 days. It's just been a very strong relationship, and we don't want to see that end.
Adam Kay there, the CEO of Cotton Australia, and this is just another spoke in the recent trade tensions with China. So just how important is China to the Australian economy? Well, Chinese imports to Australia rose to a record $82.5 billion in August on an annual rolling basis, to be up 5.6% on the year. That's despite the pandemic. And while just off the recent peak, we've exported $146 billion worth of goods and services, up 2.4% on the year, even amid escalating trade. So by far, our biggest export commodity to China is iron ore. We shipped a record $84 billion worth of it in the last financial year, followed by natural gas and coal, and cotton sits at number 20. Experts, though, say given China's emerging middle class, its reliance on Australia, especially for energy and food security, is paramount. So for more, I spoke earlier with Tim Harcourt. He is the University of New South Wales Business School economist. Tim, how important is China to Australia and how much do we export to the nation?
Well, we need China and China needs us. It's over 200 billion. They're our number one export partner, number one import source and number one trading partner.
Has COVID-19 changed this?
Well, they're still the most important. And even in the last data, they took 46% of our exports. So COVID hasn't slowed down China-Australia trade despite a lot of the rhetoric.
What do we export the most to China and has that changed over the years?
Well, it's really rocks and crops. It's principally iron ore, natural gas, coal and gold. And of course, you know, education and tourism, although COVID slowed them down, obviously, and quite a lot in the agricultural sphere as well.
So in line with the recent trade restrictions we've seen with China, do you think Australia relies too much on its relationship with China?
Well, I think really it's a matter of China really needing us. You know, they've got 1 billion people. They're moving from a nation of shippers to a nation of shoppers, and to run, you know, their economy and to pull, you know, millions of people out into the middle class, they need Australian food, Australian iron ore, Australian coal, energy security, food security. That's the name of the game for them. So they are reliant on us for sure.
So what can Australia do given we've seen all these recent restrictions or what some would call threats?
Australia's got to remember they're not alone. China's issued threats against South Korea, the Czech Republic, Japan, the USA, Brazil, Ecuador. So it really is a universal phenomena. I reckon Australia should sit tight because at the end of the day, China does need Australia just as we need them.
Tim Harcourt there from the University of New South Wales Business School. Let's go now to the Australian share market, which fell today 0.5% on the S&P ASX 200 to 6,176. For the week, though, we are up 1.2%. Focusing on today, BHP lost 1.4%. Each of the big four banks declined also. Westpac the worst, off by 1.6%. CSL dropped 0.7%. We did see some strength in the retailers. Harvey Norman up 2%. And Aussie Broadband, a new addition to the market. Its IPO price was $1. It rose 91 cents today, $1.91. So for more on that and everything else markets, I spoke earlier with Fiona Clark from Merrick Capital. Fiona, the market is down today, but for the week we are up. What do you make of the market's trading in the lead up to the US presidential election?
Yeah, so even despite today's losses, we're still going to have a pretty decent increase for the week. Look, I expect the trading over the next few weeks in the lead up to the US election to be pretty cautious. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of what happens ahead of the election. I mean, you know, the worst outcome is that it's contested, in which case we'll have continued volatility and uncertainty. And even if there is a clear winner, both scenarios present issues. You know, a Trump clear victory might be positive in the sense of it's steady as she goes, but then there are issues, you know, if he decides to ramp up the trade war with China. Similarly, if, you know, if Biden comes in, there'll be a lot of uncertainty in terms of what that means. You know, his fiscal, you know, changes to fiscal policy will also create some uncertainty. And in the meantime, we've got this sort of fiscal stimulus package being debated and held up in Congress. So I think that with all of those potential scenarios, I think we'll continue to see some uncertainty and volatility.
Today we heard from Rio Tinto and its production report for the quarter. How do you see it in light of all these recent trade tensions that we are seeing with China?
Yeah, well, just briefly on the production report itself, it was slightly, you know, in line, slightly less than the market expected, a 5% decline in shipments for the quarter. But Rio is saying that it still expects to meet its full-year guidance. I think it was a generally positive report, although there was some uncertainty about the outlook for the iron ore price going forward. But as you mentioned, the issue is, will iron ore come under the same sort of trade debate as we've seen, you know, with wine and barley and beef and coal? And I think the short answer is, in the near term, no. You know, 60% of China's iron ore comes from Australia, and I don't think that they're in a position to create sort of tension there. But medium term, you know, it's beefing up its own exploration, and I think that is a potential risk. But for now, it's not a huge issue.
Aussie Broadband, it's a new entrant into the market, making a pretty spectacular debut on the share market. We are seeing quite a number of other IPOs coming up in the near term. So is it a good time to list?
Well, it appears so, and certainly for Aussie Broadband, what a great day. Shares issued at $1, traded as high as $2.22 before settling. I think it's around about $1.90 now. So very good result for shareholders. And that was that IPO was very well oversubscribed and sort of sold out within minutes. We've got, I think, 9 IPOs for the rest of just the next 2 weeks this month alone. So it does look like there is significant supply, but there's also demand. So most of those IPOs look like they're going to be successful. Ahead, we've got, you know, Adore Beauty, an e-commerce beauty company, and of course mydeal.com is one of the other ones that's probably quite popular. So some good IPOs to look out for in the next couple of weeks.
Finally, I guess one of the big economic pieces of commentary we saw during the week was that of the Reserve Bank governor essentially saying we will see lower interest rates and we will likely see it for longer. So what does that mean for the share market and how it'll play out for investments?
Yeah, so the RBA sort of copied a little bit with the US Federal Reserve by sort of saying we're not just going to look at what's ahead of us, we're actually going to wait till we see inflation within that 2-3% band before we, you know, move, and that rates are going to be low for quite some time. I think for markets, what that means is that potentially there'll be an interest rate cut, whether that's November or, you know, early next year, that's under debate. But clearly, markets are now expecting the RBA to cut rates, and that will be positive in terms of economic stimulus, growth, and so therefore positive for asset prices. So I think that's a positive for the share market.
Fiona Clark there from Merrick Capital. That is on the money for this Friday, the 16th of October 2020. And for the week, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo, along with Instagram.
This On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice, and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.